I invite you to turn with me this morning to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And we want to read a portion here and a portion in chapter 16, and then a portion from Psalm 55. 2 Samuel chapter 12, and we begin our reading at verse 1. In the past few Lord's days, we dealt with the high cost of sin, the high cost of repentance, and this morning I want to deal with the high cost of sin's consequences. That which follows sin, its high cost. The most precious thing in all the world is your soul. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We can see the preciousness of a person's soul by what it cost God to redeem it. It took the best that heaven had. And therefore we see what is the most expensive thing, for it is that which spoils the soul, even sin. There's a high cost to sin. There's a high cost to repentance, and we need to beware of cheap repentance. But oh, the high cost of the consequences of sin. So we begin our reading at verse 1 of 2 Samuel 12. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him, and he said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But he took the poor man's lamb, and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with a sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Chapter 16, please, verse 23. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Now Psalm 55. Psalm 55, verse 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Verse 20. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He who shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now let us pray together. Our Father, having read this lengthy portion from thy word, we ask you now to open our hearts and give us something from thyself for Jesus' sake. Amen. We must remember when we read of David's sin in the Word of God that God forgave David. But the consequences that the sin produced followed David to his grave. Sin, friends, is exceedingly expensive. We remember that David pronounced his own sentence. The man that hath done this thing shall surely die. He shall restore fourfold. Now I'm convinced from this passage, as well as from the teaching of our Lord in the temple in Matthew chapter 21, that when men stand before God in judgment, their own lips will judge themselves and they will proclaim their own punishment. David did. He condemned himself. He proclaimed his own punishment. Remember, David said, the man shall restore fourfold. David had to attend the funeral of at least three of his sons. And the fourth son, Adonijah, died about the same time that David did. Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8 and verse 10, these words, and I call it the saddest verse in the Bible. And so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. In other words, Solomon is writing about his brothers. David had evil sons. The consequences of David's sin followed him. And Solomon had to say, I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone. He saw the rebel buried. Absalom. He saw Amnon buried. He saw Adonijah buried. I saw the wicked buried. They had come and gone from the place of the holy. They heard the hymns. They heard the songs sung by the Levites. They had come and they had gone. But David had a trusted friend. His name was Ahithophel. And I want to talk to you about Ahithophel and the high cost of sin's consequences. David's trusted friend, Ahithophel, is the one that David is writing about in Psalm 55. It is the one that David writes about in Psalm 41. And in these Psalms, we're given an insight into this man Ahithophel and into the man that he is a type of. Ahithophel in Psalm 41 and in Psalm 55 becomes a type of Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed our blessed Lord. Ahithophel was far and away the ablest and most famous politician of his day. There was no one fit to handle Ahithophel that day, unless it could have been Hushai, the Archite, another of David's counselors. The scripture says in the passage we read in 2 Samuel 16 that the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if it were one asked at the oracle of God. And the oracle of God speaks as a mouthpiece of God, the revelation of God through the Urim and the Thummim, which was worn by the man who wore the ephod in Israel. Psalm 55 tells us how close David and Ahithophel were. When you look at the words that he uses in verses 13 and 14, he speaks of him as a man. He says, my equal, my guide, my acquaintance. Then he says, we took sweet counsel together. We walked into the house of God in company. Friends, David never made a law. He never gave a judgment. He never proclaimed a war or negotiated a truce or signed a peace unless he heard from Ahithophel. All that Ahithophel was to David in the council chamber, his only son Eliam was in the army. For he was one of David's commanders. And the son was as devoted to David in the field as the father was to David in the council chamber. And Eliam had a beautiful daughter. Her name was Bathsheba. And of course, Eliam had a trusted officer among his mighty men. His name was Uriah. You see, Uriah was not an Israelite. Uriah was a Hittite. But he was brave, and he was loyal to David. And his very services carried him to the very top of David's 600 mighty men. And so you read in 2 Samuel chapter 23, Uriah must have been the happiest man in Jerusalem. He had Bathsheba for his wife. He had Eliam for his father-in-law. And he had Ahithophel for his wife's grandfather. Now Ahithophel was a man who had a great knowledge of David. Now, lightning doesn't need to strike us to inform us how Ahithophel took the news of what David had done with Bathsheba and with Uriah. In all probability, Ahithophel knew the prophecy that was brought to David by Nathan the prophet when Nathan told him the story of the rich man and the poor man, and what God furthermore said to David by the words of Nathan. Ahithophel knew all that. And when Absalom, the son of David, rebelled and usurped the kingdom of his father, Ahithophel forgot the words of Scripture, or else he never knew them. For God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Ahithophel decided, and you can catch it very definitely if you take time to read the counsel that he gave to Absalom. He gave two definite counsels to Absalom. I'm not going to read them, and that for a reason. I'll permit you to read them at home. But he gave two counsels to Absalom. And in the one counsel that he gave to Absalom, he was trying his best to see that God's word is fulfilled on David. So you understand now the meaning of what David says when he writes Psalm 55. You see, Ahithophel decided to take what vengeance? One thing he didn't take into account was God had made a covenant with David. And beloved, you and I, who are saved by the grace of God, are God's by divine covenant. We have entered into relationship with Christ through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And the everlasting covenant is sure and solid in all things, for it was cut by the very blood of Jesus Christ himself. Now while Ahithophel gave Absalom counsel that was very good, and had that counsel been followed by Absalom, David would have fallen. However, Hushai the Archite gave counsel also. And Absalom followed the counsel of Hushai, who was sent in as a spy to counteract the counsel of Ahithophel. Now that leads me to the character of this man, Ahithophel. Remember the high cost of sin's consequences. We all know that it cost David dearly for what he did. But David was the Lord. It cost Ahithophel far more. He was not the Lord. I want you to think this through with me and examine your own heart in the presence of God. For there are a lot of times that we as God's children have things done to us. And our first reaction is, I'm going to get even. And that reaction is wrong. We don't need to take action. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And I want you to examine Ahithophel. If any man, you would say, had a right to take action, it would have been he. He did. But I want you to notice what the scripture says about Ahithophel. Friends, sin has its bitter consequences. God will deal with his servant David. No Christian sins and gets away with it. Not a one. David didn't. What David did, what God said would come to pass, came to pass before the very sun. Just as we read in 2 Samuel chapter 12. But the most bitter consequence of David's sin was his dealing with Ahithophel. Bitter. Now what do we say? We know the character of David. But what about the character of Ahithophel? A crisis, friends, doesn't make a person. It reveals what's on the inside. And when we come to a crisis period, this is where we show what we really are on the inside. The crisis period arrived. Absalom rebelled against his father and was going to overthrow the kingdom of David and take charge. And in the 55th Psalm in verses 12 through 14, David gives us an insight into what took place when he fled Jerusalem and he had to flee all the way to Mahanaim. That's how far he had to flee, across Jordan to Mahanaim. And David says in these words, it was not an enemy. I could have stood the arrows of an enemy. It was you. It was my most familiar and trusted friend. David said, I could have taken an enemy better than you. And then he speaks of him. He says, we took sweet counsel together. In other words, the traitor had been lovingly and trusted much. The secrets between David and Ahithophel were of no common kind. He said, we walked together unto the house of God in company. In other words, they enjoyed a religious bond between them. This was not a common bond. It was a deep bond. But in verses 20 and 21, we learn something. And I want you to notice the first thing in verse 20, Ahithophel was a person who broke covenant. A covenant is something that God tells us we don't break. God expects us to keep covenant, but not Ahithophel. Ahithophel broke covenant. For verse 20 says, he hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him, and hath broken his covenant. And you can see the importance of a covenant when you examine the life of David in his relationship with Jonathan. He never broke the covenant that he had made with Jonathan. And long after Jonathan died, David said, is there yet any of the house of Saul to whom I can show the kindness of God because of Jonathan his son? And he showed the kindness of God to Mephibosheth, as we read in 2 Samuel chapter 9. So the first thing that we notice, he broke covenant. But in verse 21, I want you to notice something that is so important. The difference between his mouth and his heart. He says in verse 21, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. In other words, Spurgeon put it like this, he buttered David with flattery, and he battered him with malice. What a way to put it. What an expression. He buttered him with flattery, and he battered him with malice. You see, the lips are one thing. You see, we can sing from the lips, Lord Jesus, I love you, and our heart be as cold as ice toward the God who is our Savior. It's not what comes out the lips. It is what is in the heart. And Ahithophel is going to pay some awful consequences. What's the heart? See, God looks on the heart. You see, in the midst of this, there's a promise to the child of God. David was the Lord's, and David knew what forgiveness was. But Ahithophel was a man who said, I can never forgive. I was Ahithophel. I can't forgive. And he was sure to see that his spirit was carried out. But the next verse says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. I can have a forgiving spirit. Why? By casting it on the Lord. I'm not going to be moved. I'm righteous. And while David suffered for his sin, the consequences followed. Never forget that. But he was the Lord's. And God forgave him. God put away his sin. But now we want to follow through with Ahithophel. You see, Ahithophel, on the other hand, he missed it all. For his lips were with David, but not his heart. He missed it all. First, Absalom didn't follow his good counsel. He only followed his bad counsel. Second, he lost his granddaughter, Ahithophel did, to David. More than that, he lost Uriah in the war. And because his counsel wasn't followed, he went home to Gallo, put his papers in order, and he hanged himself. Among scholars, Ahithophel is a Judas Iscariot of the Old Testament. But now, I want to tell you, he missed the best. Ahithophel missed the best. Well, you see, his great-grandson became the king, and he wasn't there to see it. Talk about the high cost of sin, friends. Ahithophel's grandson became the king, and he missed it. More than that, he missed his great-grandson building the temple. More than that, his great-grandson became the wisest man of all time. He missed that too. But you see, Solomon was the son of David from Bathsheba. You see, the sin of Ahithophel caused him to miss it all. Friends, there's a high cost to sin. There is a high cost to the consequences of sin. Now that leads me to a quick application. How's your heart? Ahithophel could have all the applause. Why, when you ask him a question, it's like getting counsel at the mouth of God himself. That's what the oracle of God means. But listen, how's it with your heart? It's not what comes out of the lips. But what do you like on the inside? The words of Ahithophel were smoother than butter. But war is in his heart. A crisis doesn't make us. A crisis reveals us. David had a crisis. And it revealed what he was. He cried out, "Have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression." That was David. For David had a right heart. On the other hand, Ahithophel had the right words every time. But his heart had never been renewed by divine grace. My friend, how is it with your heart? How is it? The words of our mouth can be as smooth as butter, but our heart can be like war. Crisis is going to reveal what we are. Oh, that God would take this portion of his word and enable us to say with David, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, for he will sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved." David went through the crisis, friends, and he came out the winner. Why? He walked with God. The Bible tells us that David turned neither to the right hand or to the left, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. He made one mistake. Philip made multitudes. But I have the same God who will have mercy upon me when I confess my sin. Let's do business with God from the heart, friends. Ahithophel missed it all. Let's not. for his name's sake. We want to sing one stanza of a hymn this morning. 393, the third stanza. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. So Nathan said to David, the Lord has put away your sin. And oh, my friend, if you're here this morning, and your heart isn't right, you come to Christ. Not the preacher, but to Christ. And he'll put away your sin too. He's the only one who can. So let's stand and sing. 393, the third stanza.